Okay, staying on this very important issue, Sharon's in studio with us. I introduced you a little earlier on. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks
for being with us.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, you're an example of what we've been talking about to Paddy. You're on stage one of the MICA scheme.
I am, yeah.
And you're just stuck. You're in limbo.
We are stuck on the scheme. We put out all our information in March this year, thinking that things would be moving after the new scheme started, but it's not really started. We thought we would get money back, but we've €6,000 still to come back to us. We thought maybe things would start moving. We thought we would be entitled to $15,000.
Are you on the scheme officially now? Have you been accepted onto the scheme?
We are on the scheme, but we are stuck on the scheme.
Yeah, so but you're on it though.
We're on it, okay. Yeah. But so we haven't been approved, and we haven't had the money back. We thought you could get the 15,000, but
that's the emergency accommodation.
That's the emergency
measure,
accommodation money. You cannot get that money, as far as I know, until you are approved. So we're not approved on a scheme because I phoned in May this year. We were with the technical department at the time, our application. I phoned again in August because we really just, we didn't hear anything. And we thought we would have got money back for our son's college fees, for his accommodation, but we got nothing. And they basically said that nothing was really moving at the minute. Mm. They were waiting on advice from the department, which I assume is the housing department. And basically, there's €5,000 for emergency...
Remedial work.
But you have to pay that yourself. You can't fix our house with remedial work. You have bricks crumbling on the back, by the back door, plaster coming off.
Let's talk about that back door, because we're going to go into, describe what your house is like.
Yeah.
That back door, I'm only trying to imagine what the crumbling blocks is like at that back door. But the powers that be know what it's like, because Dara O'Brien stood at that back door.
Yeah, well, I had Dara O'Brien's advisor.
Dara O'Brien's Kevin advisor, Dillon, sorry. Yeah, so yeah, he was at the door. What did he do at that back door?
Well, I mean, they put, there was an engineer as well that came with them. He put a bread knife through to see what insulation was from the crumbling bricks. It's not even bricks. They're crumbling gravel.
Dust, really, isn't it?
Gravel and dust is what our house is made of, basically. He put a bread knife through to see, you know, what the insulation was like. You could see the inside bricks as well. It's that bad.
Yeah. In other words, this is not something that we're trying to convince Dublin about. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is a
is
very
real.
Higher up with Dara O'Brien in the housing department saw this with their own eyes.
They saw this in May, yeah.
Stay where you are, because we also want to get an update here on what I mentioned. This is Councillor Michael McBride, because this is an important part of this story as well, Sharon, and we're going to talk about your house in detail and your situation. Councillor McBride, when did you first put the motion before Donegal County Council as it relates to modular houses?
Good morning, Greg. Greg, I just don't have the date at hand here at the moment, but it was sometime in the earlier part of this year.
Yeah, it was in the first couple of months of the year, wasn't it? Right, now you asked the council to check where... tell us what you wanted the council to explore. You weren't calling for it immediately. You were calling for the council to explore the possibility of modular homes, weren't you?
That's correct. You know, I've been speaking to a lot of people who have MICA out there, and I think one of the biggest concerns that they have is where they're going to be rehoused when their own houses are being repaired. Now, we know that since that has happened, that we have almost 4,000 Ukrainians that have moved into Donegal. And I think that is just, you know, it's going to leave people in a more desperate situation. But at that time, that motion was passed. And I know that we have people from the executive and the council meeting with the department, talking through the MICA scheme. And I've asked them at the time to talk to them to see if we could get some, you know, temporary sites developed, we'll say in like the Letter Kenny, Milford, Stranorler, Lifford, you know, spread right across the whole of any show.
So in terms of that motion, and it was passed as well, do you know what has been done since to explore the options?
Well, I haven't heard anything back.
You've heard nothing back?
And, we haven't heard anything back to say whether the department, you know, were considering it, whether they've knocked it on the head. But, I mean, this is fairly typical of what's going on all the time, because as councillors, I've asked a few times if we would be circulated with the minutes of the meetings of the meetings in the council. We don't all sit on the making committee. And I ask for regular updates, you know, from the council on what's happening with Mike, and we're just simply not getting them, you know, and it's very frustrating from a councillor.
So you haven't been told how much it would cost, the practicalities of it, or otherwise? The motion was passed and you've had no update as of yet. You have no idea what happened to that motion. It's in the abyss, effectively.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, that's where it's at, yeah.
And all right.
There's great anger out there with people that have, you know, make a... because they are looking for answers, and we're simply not getting the information that we need. I feel like that anyway. Mm-hmm. And when we talk to people who have it, you know, they've got a lot of questions. Answers are not forthcoming,
okay.
Particularly surrounding rental properties. People are trying to, you know, eye ones up, and then when they find them, they might source a property, and then they find that they can't take it for different reasons. So, look, it's very frustrating for everybody involved.
All right, listen, I just wanted to get an update on that. So we're talking about facts here. All right, thanks very much, Councillor Michael McBride. Back to Sharon here. Right, so talk to me about the state of your home, what it's like living in it at the moment.
So, at the minute, we are living in half a house. Every room has mould. And that is a serious thing, as you said earlier. You cannot get mould off. We have bleached rooms. We have tried to get it off with different, you know, vinegar and all that kind of stuff. You have to scrape the paint off. So we've had to scrape the paint off. Underneath that paint is cracked. You know, our kitchen is... All you can do in that kitchen diner is cook. You cook the dinner. The electrics are pretty much off in the kitchen, apart from a cooker switch.
You're using extension cables.
We've extension cables for the washing machine, for anything in that back wall, because it is just damp. This started off a long time ago where our boys had a games console and it kept tripping. Then the dishwashers started tripping. 7 years, we haven't used a dishwasher in our kitchen. So each room has mould, damp, cracked. Our son is at college. He's 19. He's away in Galway. His room is just so damp, so destroyed, he can't sleep in it.
He sleeps in the front room.
He sleeps in our front room on a mattress. He did that all summer. That was his room. So we were left with no room to eat in. We had to, you know, that was his bedroom, effectively. He has nowhere to come home to, really, from when he's at college.
Even? I know this
no
is
privacy.
Not the issue, but no. I mean, just in terms of, just basic, I mean, it sounds like in your own home, you're painting the picture of squatting.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that you've been reduced to effectively squatting in your own home.
Yep, definitely.
We haven't seen the worst of the weather yet, clearly.
No.
What about heating?
So heating, we have a stove that's heats upstairs. Heating is basically, you know, you're cold. The stove is put on. You know, it's expensive. The oil is huge money. And, you know,
say you put the oil on for an hour.
Yeah, you're cold in after, like...
10 minutes later,
it's
back
cold.
To
because
base
you are living in a damp house.
Yeah.
Yesterday, because it's rained a good few days, yesterday the rain, you can see the water coming in the dining room already. It's, you know, the wetness, the condensation, the dampness.
Mm.
Because it's coming through cracks. You know, you cracked outside, you cracked inside.
I mean, you know, a lot of the focus at the time, and maybe it was to get the point across, was about houses falling down on top of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But the damage here is constant.
Yeah.
This mold that you're trying to attempt to control, the coldness, the impact on your physical and mental health, by no metric should anyone, especially, you know, people that are trying to do the best they can in terms of keep going, you know, trying to put people through education and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. No one should have to live in these conditions. And let us remind people as well, that in good faith, you've invested all your money in building this house. You built with materials that you expected and were told were built to a certain standard, that the government, that the all agencies involved followed certain standards to ensure that this was your forever home.
Yeah.
And you did nothing and you were failed. Your house is falling down and all of this is happening through no fault of your own. And you can't live in this house and there's no help for you besides that. You can't even get the €15,000 for the mobile home option. You are literally jammed. Could you? Would you be off the scheme if you moved out of that house, I wonder? Do we know if that's been fully clarified?
I don't actually know. I don't think so.
But would you want to roll the dice either?
We cannot afford to move out. Mm. You know, a mobile home is what our next option we are looking at. A $7,000 for a mobile home, $1,000 for a crane to get it over into the back garden. But at least we'd be safe cooking. You'd be safe, you know, in there for cooking. You could use it for cooking. We have to live in our house.
Yeah.
We have no other option.
Okay. And I just wanted to paint the picture for listeners as well, those that aren't directly affected by this. What everything else that Sharon is going through, and also just trying to keep everyone happy in the house and have a normal life and stress, keep stresses as limited as possible. Sharon's living all of this. Son on a mattress in the front room while he's trying to study for college and better himself. The kitchen virtually unusable. Electric cables, extension cables being run around the house. Water coming through the house. Dangerous black mould formed all over the house. And as well as that, Sharon, you've been one of the more vocal ones in sharing your story on Twitter all the time to try and get this new scheme.
Yeah.
And God knows there was a point we thought maybe this would... So every which way you turn, this is taking over your life.
It must be so
tough, Sharon.
It is, because you wake up every day and you think, oh my goodness, and or you go out somewhere and you come back and you think, is there another bit of plaster off? Or, you know, is my back door going to shut, you know, today? Or when is that back door going to stop closing? Mm. You know, when is there going to be a huge hole in the back of the house? You know, it's
when
just...
When are you going to get your home back?
When are we going to do this?
When are you going to be able to open the door of a home that you've worked really, really hard to have?
I think every time somebody comes, we had Sinn Féin councillors came. Every time you have somebody to the house, you think, oh, that's great, you know, maybe something. And I'm speaking on behalf of everybody in this situation, you know, that we can all get sorted. You get kind of like, oh, let's hope it's, you know, tomorrow that we can get through the scheme. And it's not. And, you know, I feel a lot of people and myself and my husband, we've kind of given up. We really are, because we've no other options at all.
There's no light at the end of the tunnel, and this is not about option this and option that, and our foundations included. And I mean, that's all really, really important stuff. Yeah. Do not get me wrong. I'm not in any. This is literally about having somewhere safe to live for this winter.
Safe to live and trying to get on this, moving on this scheme. It's just disheartening. I can't even phone the council anymore because I'm so upset with them and so distraught that they just seem to. Can't move anybody on. It's so unfair.
I don't know where you get your strength, Sharon.
I think...
Because, do you know, I'll tell you why. We've all the stuff that we all have to work... You know about your health.
Yeah.
Your children's well-being. Buying school books. School transport. Keeping a car on the road. All at Brexit. Whatever. We've all that to deal with. But on top of that, yous have to deal with this as well, which amplifies everything else. I don't know... Where you get your strength from? I really don't, and maybe some people don't have the strength.
Yeah, I mean, I think people on the MICA scheme, on the Facebook page, they have got us through this completely. Paddy Divers, you know, all these people have helped us along the way, and you have to be there for the people who maybe I could help someday. You know, in our situation, and you know, because it is so hard. And, you know, the living in these conditions, I mean, well, they were on about mould, but our son in the summer took very sick. He was in A&E. He was tested for allergies. Mm. And we said, could you test for mould? Now, we've not results back yet. I mean, he's 19 and, you know, it's ridiculous.
We know mould causes very serious conditions. It can cause asthma as well.
Yeah.
So, in other words... like, and we have to be really careful with what we say. I don't want to exaggerate in either direction, but we have young people that could actually end up in their adult life bearing the consequences of this inaction.
Of this, this
and,
is
and
my,
that is a reality. So again, out there to people, you want nothing bad to ever come of your children. We could be talking about families here of children. They can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. Whose their children could carry conditions into their adulthood because of the inaction in getting people out of these unsafe homes.
Yeah.
Go on. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Just to say, you know, we've got to keep going. We've got to fight for this.
It's tough, though.
It's very, very hard. And we, you know, we need help. There's not, you know, there's no one that we can. I feel I can't phone the Donegal County Council anymore because they're just, I'm so upset.
Well, let's put it, let's phrase it like this so it's really, really clear. There are people, Donegal people today, begging the local authority for help. They're living in houses that are unsafe.
Yeah.
Begging, they are begging you for help to do something. Begging the housing minister, begging Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, Eamon Ryan. They're begging for help in pure desperation. If that's what it takes, Sharon, I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth.
No.
But you know what? That's how desperate this situation has got for some people affected
by
this.
I emailed Leo Varadkar because he was so frustrated that no prosecutions had taken place last week. I emailed him last week because if he was frustrated, then what are we, you know,
Where's
sitting here?
Where's the emergency tax task force to sort this out? All right, listen. Again, you've done brilliant, Sharon. You've been brilliant throughout all of this. And it's not just speaking on behalf of yourself. It's speaking on behalf of others that aren't public speakers. Do you know what I mean? And you're giving them a voice. Lots of people are ringing in with their support for you and I back you 100%. But what we actually need is you and your family in safe accommodation for this winter.
Yeah, we do. And for people who are desperate, you know, there's worse off people than us out there. And, you know, but there are, and we just haven't got, nobody's listening.
I know. Okay. Listen, well, how could that be ignored? Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Thanks for that.